Dean Pagani wrote this. From Mitt Romney to Chuck Schumer and President Obama, political leaders and ordinary Americans are doing their best to pledge their support to President-elect Donald Trump. In an effort to get the country past the divisiveness of last year's election, and in the hope that Trump will somehow rise to the occasion, we are collectively trying to ignore, for now, the obvious. Trump is unfit to be president. I could not believe that Dean Pagani wrote that, but he did. Dan?
Dean, welcome to Brad and Dan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
You've got Brad shocked.
I was shocked. I know you well. You worked for former Governor Rowland, and I was just shocked when you said that and wrote that.
I don't know why. I stand by it. I have watched the campaign over the last 2 years like everyone else. And throughout the campaign, based on Donald Trump's behavior alone, I don't see how anybody could support him. He doesn't meet minimum standards of decency. And on that factor alone, I don't think he's qualified to be president. I'm not saying that his election is illegitimate or that he didn't win the election in a fair fight, but that doesn't mean that he's qualified for the job. And I think his behavior since he's been elected only confirms that. He's wasting hours and hours and days of time on things that do not matter to the American people. And if he continues this pattern once he gets into office, it's going to cause lots of trouble, both domestically and potentially around the world.
Well, Dean, what are some of the things that he's wasting his time on that don't matter?
Yeah.
Oh, just about anything that he speaks about publicly or tweets about, or these fights that he gets into with minor celebrities and members of Congress, all cut into when you're the president of the United States, or even a governor, as I found working in the governor's office, you don't have time for these petty fights. You should be focusing all your time on the job at hand. And every minute you waste worrying about what people are saying about you and engaging in back and forth with them is wasted time that you are essentially taking away from the people you're supposed to be serving. And that's the pattern that's setting up here.
Dean, why do you believe the American people, who were very, very down about the country, and on this program, when they started, I couldn't believe what some of them were supporting. However, they never gave up, and they told me why. They liked the way Donald Trump acted. They liked the way he talked. And this was different, yes. But this is the reason, evidently, he won.
I don't disagree with you. But that doesn't mean that he's the best person to be president of the United States. Last year, I spent about a month worth of weekends up in New Hampshire, watching the presidential primary process and writing about it. And back then, I basically wrote the same thing, that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump were connecting with the voters because of the way they were talking about the issues, because the people of the country are sick and tired of politics as usual, and they're essentially reaching out for something different. Hillary Clinton was the epitome of government in this country as it's been practiced for the past several decades. And Donald Trump's election was a rejection of all that. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be a good president, or he's behaving in a way right now that suggests he's going to be a good president. In fact, this most recent dust up with Congressman Lewis is a good example. Setting aside who started it and everything else and the issue of whether Trump's election was legitimate or not, a good politician, a good leader, would have privately called John Lewis after John Lewis's interview and said, you know, Congressman, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I saw your interview, but I want to work with you. What can we do together to make the country better? he wouldn't have launched into what is now a week-long war of words between the two sides, again, wasting his time and wasting the time of the American people. He would have found a way to reach out.
Well, Martin Luther King, the late Martin Luther King's son, sat with Donald Trump, a dean. They sat together, and you know the outcome of that.
Well, look at the difference there. That's a good example. Donald Trump has engaged in a week-long war of words with Congressman Lewis, whereas Martin Luther King's son came out and spoke to the press and said, you know, we're going to try to find a way to get by this and work together. That's the difference. Martin Luther King's junior's son showed leadership, and Donald Trump has not.
Well, now, let's take a look at the amount of time that Trump may devote to his tweets. First of all, they say he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning and gets by in very little sleep, and that's usually when he composes those tweets. I'm not necessarily defending them, that's when he composes them, but the man does have time to have all these meetings in Trump Towers, and he's selected a cabinet. If anything, Donald Trump seems to be putting a lot of time in and actually has accomplished some things with these jobs, Dean. As president-elect, he hasn't even taken the oath of office yet.
Well, first of all, I don't think he's accomplished anything with the jobs. Wait a second. Let me finish. These companies that are coming out prior to the inauguration saying that they are going to create jobs have been working on these projects for months and months, if not years. They are being run by very smart people with very smart government relations people around them, and they see an opportunity to make some headlines with the new president and get on the good side of the new president. They didn't suddenly wake up the morning after the election and say, let's create 2,000 jobs in Indianapolis. These are issues that have been under consideration for a long time.
So what you're saying essentially is when these CEOs get out there and say because of what they believe Trump will do for the country's business climate, what you're saying is these CEOs aren't telling the truth.
I'm saying that they're taking advantage of the situation. They're trying to ingratiate themselves with the new administration and announcing deals that they were already going to make and making it sound as if the new administration has something to do with it.
Well, yes. I think they have.
They're playing politics.
They don't fear then the possible penalties that Trump would impose on them should they choose to move their operations out of the country.
No, because they make decisions for business related reasons.
There was going to be a 35% tax.
There's not going to be there. None of this has happened yet. He hasn't even been inaugurated as president. Congress hasn't even weighed in. If you read the latest coverage from Capitol Hill, as a matter of fact, there are already signs that the Trump insiders, the Trump team, is clashing over policy with Republicans in Congress. The easiest part of Donald Trump's job right now should be to sign just about anything that the Republican-controlled Congress sends him. Instead, he's already apparently getting into fights with them about some of the details of the policy. He could declare victory from day one just by signing almost anything the Republican Congress sends him. Instead, he's getting into a back and forth with them.
What do you think of his cabinet choices?
I don't know enough about most of them to say, but I am concerned. For instance, today, the UN secretary, Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, is going to provide testimony. And if you look at her resume, she is somebody who is an accountant by trade. She worked in the family business. She was elected to the South Carolina legislature, and then she became South Carolina governor. How that qualifies her for UN ambassador, I don't know.
Okay. Dean, this is an interesting perspective. We like to get all viewpoints, and you certainly bring your viewpoint to the table, and we appreciate that, and we'll talk down the road.
Dean, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Dean. Take care.
I hope Brad can recover.
I'll recover. Don't worry. I'll recover.
Thanks, Dean.
No, this really, something like this, well, Dan, and it upsets you, too.
The man has an extensive resume, including having been chief of staff for former Governor Rowland.
I know
so
that.
When someone who's been chief of staff for a Republican writes this, you know, he deserves to be heard.
I guess I was just surprised that he's not, to say somebody's not qualified.
Well, hey, listen, he's not alone in saying that.
Oh, I know that.
He's not alone among Republicans either.
I know. Yeah. I know. So, I understand. Yeah.